Hey, podcast listeners. If you have ever found yourself wanting to give up, you're going to want to hear what we're about to share with you. Christine has put together a list of 10 of her favorite scriptures to encourage you to keep going when you just want to quit. Go to christinecane.com/don't quit to get your copy so that you'll have encouragement ready for the next time you're finding it hard to keep believing that the best is yet to come. Now, let's dive into today's message.
Access more.
This is Equip and Empower, the Christine Kane podcast. For everyone who desires to bring hope, create change, and live out their God-given destiny with passion and joy. Here's your host, Christine Kane.
Hey. I'm so pumped. I'm so excited to be back and talking about really what is the essence of my ministry and life, which is the whole subject of being lost and found and being passionate about our relationship with Jesus Christ and taking the good news of Jesus Christ into a lost and a broken world. Now, here is my thought. I really truly believe that Christians ought to be lostologists. Now, a lot of you are thinking, what does that even mean? We have zoologists. We have biologists. We have a lot of different ologists. And I think we as Christians ought to understand and love the lost like nobody else. If the last thing that Jesus said to us before he ascended into heaven to be with his Father, if we are to make his final commandment our first priority, if it is that important to go into all the world and make disciples of everyone, then I figure that Jesus is obsessed with the lost. And if he's obsessed with the lost and he tells us to go into all the world and reach the lost, then Christians ought to be lostologists. We're not called to judge the lost, although we've been really good at that for a long time. We are not called to separate ourselves from the lost. We've been very good at that as well. We have not been called to sit there and have another seminar on understanding the lost. We have been called to love the lost. And the fact is, I think for too long, we've been too fearful of what we don't understand. And I think it's time that we begin to love who Jesus loved, to understand lost people in the way that Jesus loved them, so that you and I can go into all the world, wherever your world is, wherever your workplace is, if you're a stay-at-home mum, your community, your world, your friends, your neighbors, or perhaps it could be in the foreign mission field. But I think a lot of times we think missions is what everyone else does. I'm talking in this series about living a life on mission, not doing missions. And we have separated those two things. We have separated it and we go, well, they're just the missionary and I'm a stay-at-home mum in the West and that's what I do. Whereas Jesus said, no, whoever you are, I need you to go into your world and to make disciples. I so love the world, I want you to so love the world. And we're going to talk about that throughout this series. What does it mean to love the world, to be in this world, but not to be of this world? What does it mean to love the lost? What does it mean to be a lostologist? Christine, that's not even in the dictionary. My goal is at the end of this series, we might put that in the dictionary. But I think there is a study of the lost in Luke chapter 15. And that whole word, the ology suffix, it's derived from the Greek word, and it means the study of, a specialty in. And I want us to be specialists in understanding the lost so that we can reach the lost. We are called to reach this world with the love of Christ, and I don't know that we've ever been in a more urgent hour. And I think because of the advent of the internet, and I think the fact that social media, we have access to world news immediately, that through one scroll of Twitter, you're in every continent of the world and every natural disaster, every great tragedy, every terrorist attack. I mean, those things would have taken sometimes weeks or months to get to us. They're there in an instant. And it's almost like we've become so desensitized because we don't know what to do, because we were never created to be able to understand and filter that kind of tragedy and information in such a short span of time. And so I think what has happened to our hearts is we've lost our passion, not because we've wanted to, But because in order to survive, you just kind of try to numb yourself just to get through your own life. And it's my intention and my prayer and my heart that the Holy Spirit infuses these messages so that we take a passion for the lost into our workplaces, into our communities, into our schools, into our homes. So Luke 15, I think, is the Lostology chapter in the Bible. So if you would turn with me there, the Bible says in Luke 15, chapter 1, now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. I love Jesus because he really didn't care what anybody thought. He's like, you know what, we're just going to go there. So he told them this parable. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. I mean, let's just pause there. More joy in heaven. When was the last time you heard a sermon about more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than 99 that need no repentance? God is obsessed with the lost. It gets better. And then we go on in verse 8, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost. Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. I mean, this is how important it is to God. This is how much joy there is in heaven. Sometimes we think if I'm just a good little Christianette and listen to my sermonette and do my little pirouette, God's going to be happy. And God says, yeah, I'm happy, but I'm even more happy when one person repents. Gets even better. I'm telling you, people that think the Bible is boring, don't read it. Okay, so, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, there's something about coming to yourself. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. So we see that God rejoices, and the man rejoices when he finds one lost sheep, and when the woman finds one lost coin, and when the father's lost son returns home. So we see a constant theme. We see one chapter of scripture. Now, I know for many of you, I just read a lot in that chapter. That's kind of more Bible than you've read all year. So it's okay. I've just caught you up on your Bible reading plan for the week. So you say, you're fine. You're caught back up now. But here's the deal, that there's a lost sheep, there's a lost coin, and there's a lost son. One chapter of scripture, you won't find this anywhere else in the Bible. One chapter of scripture speaking about one subject in three different ways from every single angle. I'm telling you, Jesus wants us to be lostologists because he understood the lost. And in this passage of scripture, he's explaining how people end up lost. And he says, ultimately, it really doesn't matter how they end up lost. The point is they're lost. So we see a lost sheep. Now, I come from Australia and, you know, we have a lot of sheep in Australia. In our little, you know, we like to say in Australia that off our east coast, we have a little island that is part of Australia called New Zealand. But New Zealand literally has more sheep than people. And so we are experts in sheep. Now, this is what I think happened, is when a sheep wakes up in the morning, this is sheep psychology right now, okay, as we unpack lostology. When a sheep wakes up in the morning, the sheep's not like, I think I'm going to get lost today. The sheep just has its head down, it's eating grass, and I think at the end of the day, it just sticks its head up. It goes, bah. And the interpretation of that is, I'm lost. Okay, so you could drive along the street sometimes and you see all of these sheep in a paddock, and then there's this one little random sheep somewhere that's lost. It didn't intentionally set out to be lost. It was just preoccupied with eating. It was just kind of preoccupied with what was it. Well, look, there's a lot of people in our world. They're not big, bad, evil sinners. They're just preoccupied with life. They're just trying to pay the bills, just trying to keep their kids off drugs, just trying to keep their marriages together, just trying to keep their job, just trying to somehow make it through the day. They are just preoccupied with life and have ended up lost. And I think sometimes we've misinterpreted that. And I think sometimes we have missed awesome opportunities because we have ascribed to people motives that they never had. We go, they're just an evil sinner. They're just a really horrible. And they're like, just caught up with life, just caught up with life. And then, of course, we have the woman with the lost coin. Well, the coin didn't wake up and get lost by itself. The woman, somewhere along the line, she was the one that she lost the coin. She somewhere dropped the coin. It wasn't the coin's fault. The coin didn't go and lose itself. She somewhere must have been careless at some point and the coin was lost. Well, you know, we have a generation in the world where a lot of the generation above them that should have parented them well, that should have stewarded them well, people in positions of authority, people in every sphere of life, whether it's government, whether it's education, whether it's media, it's been very careless with a generation. Very careless, and they've ended up lost. When I was lost before I was found in Christ, it wasn't that I was necessarily, yes, of course I was born a sinner, but it wasn't that I was willfully anti-God. People that should have looked after me were careless with me, and I ended up far from God. You know, I was left in a hospital, unnamed and unwanted when I was born. So there was already a spirit of rejection and abandonment on my life. And then I was sexually abused for many, many years of my life. People that I should have been able to trust were careless with my life. So I was full of shame. I was full of guilt. I was full of pain. I was full of anger. I was full of unforgiveness. People were careless with my life. People were careless with my whole sexual identity. People were careless with me, and I ended up so far from God, not because I hated God, but people were careless with me. And I think it's important to understand that there are people that are very far from God because they've been deeply hurt in their life. There have been people that have been careless with their life. You know, I have a 15-year-old daughter and an 11-year-old daughter. When I look at what comes out on social media or on the internet, and what messages this generation is being bombarded with. People are being careless with young women. People are being careless with the body image of it. You're telling them, you are not good enough unless you are this skinny, unless you are this beautiful, unless you have this kind of work done to your physical body. No one's ever going to love you. You are not going to be good enough. You're not thin enough. You're not smart enough. You're not educated enough. And a lot of people, you're watching this on the other side of the screen, and people have been careless with you. People have told you that you're not good enough. A teacher has said that you are dumb, you are stupid, that you're never going to amount to anything, and you've believed the lie from the enemy. You have believed the careless words from a teacher that said you won't make it, perhaps a parent that said they wish you were never born, that you were just a mistake, that you were just an accident. Somewhere along the line, the enemy has gotten into your mind and you believed the lie of the abuser. The abuser that says you are worth nothing. The abuser that lied to you and said if you say anything, that bad things are going to happen to you. And you have believed the lie that you are worthless, that you are hopeless, that you are useless. You've believed the lie that because you have made mistakes in your own life, you can never recover from them. You've believed the lie that your failure is final. Someone was careless in the lie that they whispered to you. You've allowed that lie to identify you, and you have been limited and constrained in your life because you've believed the lie of the enemy. And God brought me right here onto your screen right now to break the curse of that lie over your life in the name of Jesus Christ, and to let you know that God loves you. And what happened to you is not because there was something wrong with you. It was because we live in a broken and a fallen world. People are flawed. People are broken, people are hurting, and hurting people hurt people. The people that abused me in their own life, they had so much pain and so much tragedy. And it's not for a long time I believed. You know, when I first started being abused, I thought what was happening to me was wrong. But over time, I started to think there's something wrong with me. That's why it's happening. And that mantra became the mantra of my life. There's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. But just like in this parable, the coin was lost because someone was careless with the coin, not because the coin intentionally got lost. You have found yourself far from God, not because of you, but because of something that was done to you. Someone was careless with you. And I'm here today to tell you that you can stop running from God. You can come back to God. Jesus loves you and has a plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. And He can wipe away the mess of that past. He can give you a brand new start and a hope for the future. I am living proof today that you can start bad and you can finish good in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what God does in your life. Some people are lost and they act broken because they are broken, because someone was really careless with their life. And sometimes we look at them and we just judge and go, well, they're just a drug addict. Well, they're just acting out. Well, they're just, you know, living immorally. Well, they're just, you know, addicted to this substance, or they're just not committed to anything. And what we do is we've lost our passion and our compassion to understand that somewhere along the line, someone was careless with their life and they ended up lost. And I think rather than judging and blaming, we need to cross the street and go and embrace and love and do exactly what this woman did. She turned that house upside down until she found that coin. And I think when Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world and make disciples, this is what He's talking about. He says, how about we just stop judging everyone at work and everyone at college and everyone at school and our neighbors because they live differently to us, or because they might believe differently to us? And how about we have the compassion and the passion of Christ? Begin to build bridges and start to understand. That's what a lostologist is. It says, I'm going to understand, wow, there's probably something fueling that behavior. There's probably something that may have happened to you, or some lie that you believe somewhere along the line, and someone was careless with what they taught you. Someone was careless in the way that they raised you. Someone was careless in the friendship circle that they were hanging out with. And then once you start to understand, then it helps you to love, and it helps you to be full of grace and full of mercy and full of truth and full of goodness. And we need Christians to be good in a very dark world. And I'm not talking about being good about behavior modification. I'm talking about the goodness of God into a lost and a broken world. All goodness comes from God. God is good, Scripture says, and God does good, and God works all things together for good. But a lot of our world does not know that God's good, because often we can be so legalistic, so judgmental, so critical, so apathetic, or so indifferent. They think that's what God is like. And so what we need to do is be like this woman that says, I am going to turn my house upside down and I'm going to find this coin. I am going to understand that, you know what, we live in a really, really broken world and people have been careless. And especially, you know, I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I really do. I think a lot of the lies that come to this generation through the media and often through the education department gets into the thinking of young people. And it's like we who should be protectors of their hearts and their minds have been careless with them. And many parents have abdicated their responsibility of raising their children, and we've let the television and the internet raise our kids rather than speaking the truth of the Word of God. And if we do not speak the truth of the Word of God, they won't know about the love or the grace of God. They won't know what their identity is supposed to be in Christ. And they're going to forge their identity from the media. They're going to forge their identity from Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or Twitter, or they're going to forge their identity from the latest magazine or the latest pop star or the latest sports star. And we don't even look at what kind of lifestyle they're living, and because we're being careless. So what we need to do is stop being careless, step into the gap, rise up and be the men and women of God that we've been called to be, to talk about the truth of God and the love of God and the grace of God, and help a generation to understand that their great-grandfather was not a cockroach, but they were created in the image of God, filled with God-given purpose, God-given destiny. God loves them. God has a plan for their life. And when they get on track with their God-given destiny and purpose, then they're going to rise up and be all that God's called them to be, and they're going to do all that God's called them to do in their life. That is what we need to do. And then, of course, there's the story of the lost son. And a lot of us, we have a lot of difficulty with this because we think, yes, well, Christine, what do you mean I'm supposed to love those people that just go off and squander everything? They knew better. Christine, they were in church. They did the Bible reading plan. They went to all of the youth camps. And then all of a sudden, they just started to turn away and live their own life. They just wanted to live an immoral life, or they just decided that they weren't going to live for Jesus anymore. Well, what do you mean we should be loving to them as well? Well, I think what happened in this story is I think that the son simply miscalculated. He assumed that a life without the father would be better than a life with the father. And I think a lot of times, and this is for some parents that are watching this right now, your children, and you have been in deep heartache because your children have gone off track at whatever age that might be, and they're living far from God. And you're thinking, what did I do wrong? Lord, your word says that if you raise a child up in the way they should go, when they are older, they will not depart from it. I want to speak to you and say, don't give up right now. The hound of heaven, he is chasing them down. God loves our kids even more than we love our kids, if that is possible. And sometimes, rather than judging them and trying to punish them and ostracize them, and you can't come in this house because you've got this kind of lifestyle, and I'm not going to talk to you because you're, and we judge them, we push them away, rather than understanding that they've miscalculated and they will come to themselves. You see, I love that scripture. It says that when he's in the pit, now the father didn't go running to the pit and go, I'm going to sit in the pit with you and we're all going to have a pity party together right here in the pit and I'm going to condone your lifestyle and it's all. No, I'm not talking about that. I want you to understand this. We do not throw out the truth in the name of love, but we have to get better at speaking the truth in love. And so if they have not yet come to themselves, it doesn't mean we change our theology to accommodate certain lifestyles. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am saying that we continue to believe God and we have an open door policy that says, man, I am loving you. I'm not going to jump in that pit with you. You've chosen the pit. I'm not getting in that pit. But boy, I am going to love you and be grace-filled and merciful. And when you are ready to come home, when you have come to yourself, oh, you're going to have the finest robe and you're going to have the best ring and we're going to have the fatted calf and there's not going to be judgment and there's not going to be condemnation and I'm not going to keep you locked up and I'm not going to keep reminding you of your past and I'm not going to keep speaking about all the things you did wrong, because this is how people lose their passion. Yeah. Because you cannot go forward looking through a rear vision mirror. And some of us, especially if we're women, we have an unbelievable ability to remind everyone of what they did 24 years ago, where they were standing when they did it, and what they were wearing when they did it, and especially if it's our husband. But what we have to understand is Jesus is saying from this, look, I'm a lostologist and I want you to love and understand the lost. And whether it's a lost sheep that was just preoccupied, understand that a lot of our world is broken because they're just trying to make it. They're not like big, bad sinners, evil. And, you know, we objectify people. We other people, and we keep them at a distance rather than loving them, understanding Man, they're just preoccupied. Okay, how can I reach them with the love and the grace of Jesus Christ? Rather than understanding that, man, someone was careless with that person's life and that's why their thinking is so skewed or their life is so skewed because we were careless. And how can I begin to care? How can I begin to love? How can I begin to build a bridge to the gospel of Jesus? Or you know what? Maybe they just miscalculated. At this point, they've lost their mind. They think being away from Jesus is going to be better than being with Jesus. How do I keep a bridge open but without jumping in the pit with them? I'm not going to change my theology or try to make the Bible say something it doesn't say just to make people comfortable. No, I do not want to throw out the truth in love. I want to learn how to speak the truth in love with grace and mercy. I love what the Bible says in John 3:17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I think it's so important that we as Christians stop giving God a bad rap. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, and therefore we shouldn't judge or condemn. What we need to do is to love with the grace of God, but understanding that we stand for truth and we stand for justice and we stand for mercy. But God loved the world, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. God is a lostologist. He understands the lost better than us. And I think for a long time, the church has not understood the lost at all. We've run away from them. We're scared of them, or we've misunderstood them, or we've judged them, or we've objectified them. We've done everything but love them. And so we have to understand that God is not angry with you. God is not mad at you. He is mad about you. There is no greater love that anyone can have than to lay down his life for a friend. That's how crazy about you Jesus is. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. And you might be going, man, how could God love somebody like me? Chris, you've got no idea the kind of stuff that I've done in my life, the kind of places that I've been, the things that I've done. And you're right, you know, I've got no idea what you've done. But let me tell you something. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on a cross, rose again from the dead so that you and I could have forgiveness for our past. A brand new start today, not just one day when you go to heaven, but today, and a hope for the future. And if you surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you can receive the love and the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God and get on track with your God-given purpose and your God-given destiny. God loves you. He's got a plan, purpose, and destiny for your life. And there's nothing that you've done that is too big to separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Simply open up your heart to Jesus today, receive his love, receive his grace, receive his mercy, and you can have a brand new start in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. We hope today's message has encouraged and helped you. By the way, we'd love to see you positioned to experience all the great things God wants to do in your life. And we've got a special gift that'll help you do that. Just go to ChristineCain.com/podcast devotional and download your free copy of Christine's 14-day devotional, Spiritual Growth Spurts.